Please be seated. Today we hear the parable of the talents. There are three servants, yet one Lord, but they have two different outcomes. Now, this parable is very similar to the account of the Last Judgment, which is just a few verses away in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Very similar. And there's a parallel to the Last Judgment with this parable. In the Last Judgment, there are two groups, one and the same Lord, two different outcomes. One, to blessed entrance into the kingdom of heaven, the other, to accursedness. Let's look at the first servant. He had five talents. Now, a talent was a very, very large sum of money. The second servant had two talents. The third servant was given one in charge of one talent. Now, this reminds me of, why the difference? Why the difference in the talents? Well, it says according to each ability. And so we have this from St. Paul in Romans chapter 12. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. The outcomes, the one with five doubled, and he ended up with 10 talents. The one who was given two talents, invested, and ended up with four talents. Now the outcome for those two is, well done, my good and faithful servant. They were praised. And then the master says, enter into the joy of your Lord. And even more was added to them. But to the one who buried the talent, loss. And that one talent was given to the servant who had 10. He was rebuked. And then he was ordered to be cast out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, very similar to the outcome of the unfaithful servants in the Last Judgment. Those who did not minister to Christ in the poor, in the sick, in those who were in prison. So in our day and age, with our mindset, we might think that that last servant, the third servant, he was treated unjustly. Why is that? Well, I think in our culture, especially in these last few years, we maybe even subconsciously expect equity. In other words, same outcome for everyone, no matter how well or how poorly they did. This idea of equity, as it is now put forward, is actually involves a collectivism. And a collectivism, according to George Orwell, who wrote 1984 and Animal Farm, a collectivism always ends up in the tyranny of totalitarianism. So however unfair outcomes may be, we don't want the perverseness of equity. Well, our Lord, in our weaknesses, those of us who have maybe less faith, our Lord does not snuff out a flickering candle, so he says, nor does he break a bruised weed. But faithfulness is expected from every one of us, no matter how great our faith, no matter how abundant the grace given to us is, no matter what our talents may be. Faithfulness is expected. Faithfulness is expected because faith, like love, love is not a feeling. It's not something that makes our hearts warm and fuzzy. Love demands action. Just like faith. Faith is not agreeing with a bunch of intellectual ideas. Faith requires action. Action in our lives. We read this from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. This is St. Paul writing to the Church of Thessalonica. Now we exhort you, brethren, to warn the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, to help the weak, be patient with all. The idle. Well, it's not just those who are physically idle, but also those who are spiritually idle, not working, not doing a thing. Well, how do we move? How do we move our faith into action? Well, there are many ways, but let me give you one idea. And that comes from ethics. Now, if you've ever studied ethics, there are all these ideas of how to live the ethical life. I think one of the most oldest and the one we're most familiar with is a hierarchical ethic. And that gives us the illustration. Let's say it's Amsterdam, 1942. The Nazis have invaded and they're rounding up Jews. But you have friends who are Jewish and you hide them in an attic room, right? Nobody's supposed to know they're there. The Gestapo comes rapping on your door and it demands to know, are you hiding Jews? And you say no. And they were in a good mood that day and just walked away. Well, what have you done? You lied, but you acted in love and preserved life. Either way, you lied and you have sinned. Now, that's the problem with ethics of hierarchy. There's always a dilemma. But let me give you a better ethic that will perhaps engage our faith into action. Let's say you want to be truthful. That's a good thing. It's a holy thing. Then tell the truth. If you want to be merciful, another good thing. Act in mercy. If you want to be compassionate, then be compassionate. If you want to be grateful, then give thanks in, with, and for all things. That's an ethic of being. And whatever Christian virtue of faith, all of them actually, whatever we want to put into ourselves, and actually what we're doing is we're growing Christ within us. Whatever we do, if we so act, that virtue of faith will be worked into us. It'll be manifest by our lives and what we say, and even more importantly, what we do. And by so doing, Christ is worked and formed more fully and perfectly and completely in our lives. Let me read this from St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. And I quoted some of this last week. I'm beginning on verse 16. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in, with, and for all things. For this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecy. But test everything. Hold fast what is good and abstain from every form of evil. Here's the point. May the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we do, we become. And again, as I said last week, I think one of the greatest virtues is gratitude. It is said that anyone who gives thanks, God is near them and is working in them. So again, also for an ethic of being and an ethic of becoming, and becoming is so important. Rejoice in every circumstance in which you find yourself. Pray through it, no matter how challenging or difficult it may be. And no matter how challenging or difficult that person or event that you find yourselves engaged in, give thanks for it. Again, you may not transform completely the person or the event or the circumstances, yet you will be transformed. Again, let's work out our faith, practicing it in practical ways, so that we may grow in Christ, so that whatever our gifts are, whatever grace has been given to us, let us use them. Let us use those gifts so that we may hear on that dread judgment day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.